Hello.
There
How about
she
now?
Hello.
Your voice is beautiful. It was very nice to see you.
It's the usual thing right now. I'm not sure what's going on. Each time, you know, I start speaking with someone, it's that cartoon kind of
oh, really?
Sound. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what's
and now
the problem
it's fine.
Is, but
yeah.
The second time is the charm.
It reminds me of I can just picture this little colorful robot in my mind. Reminds me of a cartoon from my youth of these little.
That's okay, you know, it's funny beginning of everything. Why not?
Yeah, but it's almost every time, huh?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad the second time is a charm because it's nice to talk with you again and to see you and pretty flowers on your mug.
And I have a ladybug as well.
Nice mug. So grammar mistakes. None of us make them, right?
Of course not. No, never.
And so many of the common ones are common to native speakers as well. And I don't think enough students believe that, but it really is true. English is a bit crazy.
You know what? I think that any language has its crazy side. So you cannot just say that English is crazy because, well, people do make mistakes, and grammar is like a logical structure, and not all people are logical creatures. So that's why we make mistakes.
So that's leads to an interesting question. Is grammar logical?
Not at all.
It is for me.
So for you, so truthfully, it does feel logical once you understand the rule.
Yeah, there are a lot of exceptions and a lot of stuff, but actually, like, the structure, the grammatical structure is logical for me. And actually, each exception can be explained from the historical point of view, from something, you know. If you don't know this explanation, that means for me that you haven't been looking for the explanation hard enough.
Gerard, counterpoint.
Grammars, we made up grammar rules because the languages weren't made with grammar rules. It's a way to understand us. We conceptualize the language making these grammar rules. But I think maybe the only language, speaking language, is Esperanto, is made by real grammar rules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what? You just reminded me of one point I've heard in one TED talk. Some grammarian said that that is right. The spoken language comes first, right? And then we have the written version of a language, the written variant. So, and he said that just imagine that language appeared 24 hours ago, right? So the written variant, the written language appears like at 11:07 p.m. p.m. So just imagine that just a little bit of written, a little time, yes, a little period of time when we have this written version and the grammar. So, well, not the grammar, but the rules which we can explain and, you know, just and teach. And teach to our students.
So with all of the exceptions, do the patterns that grammar does put in place, do the patterns help?
Yeah, the patterns help. I think that people, they have to put everything into some categories, into some groups, into some something, you know, which is usual for them, which is known by them. So it is easier to put everything into, to categorize things. So grammar helps to categorize things, helps to compare things, especially when you are studying foreign language. It really helps to compare your own language and the things you have in your language with the grammar rules and exceptions in another language. So it works for me. I like it that way. I like thinking about grammar as the structure which is really like has the logical flow. So it helps me immensely, you know, to think about grammar in that way. Bojana, you do not help me.
I love you, mommy. I want to kiss you.
Okay, thank you. okay, thank you.
Smart daughter.
Smart mothers do have smart daughters.
That's right.
I think I would say the question another way. Adults need grammar rules, and children wouldn't need that. Because they would learn a language in a more intuitive way. The real way to learn a language.
And yet, what do we do to children as soon as they intuitively begin to learn?
Well, they then
we force
they
them
start
to learn
generalizing.
The rules.
Yeah, but you know, there is a point. Every child comes to a point when he cannot, well, how do children learn languages? At first they repeat what they hear, but then the time comes when a child comes to a point when there are no words that he can, no words he heard that he can repeat. So the generalization comes, and when this point, you know, starts, here comes the grammar. He starts making up his own structure, not his own structures, but the structures by analogy with the previous things he or she heard. But then this structure might not work because of wrong grammar. And here comes the teacher who shows that there is the rule that the sentence can be made by, you know, according to this rule. So it does not work. Well, it works on a primitive level. But if you want to expand your knowledge, if you want to speak in a nicely formed structures, then I think that rules, you cannot avoid them.
And my question, can we learn these rules without learning them? I mean, intuitively, we can know them. Because, for instance, many English speakers don't know anything about the first, second, and third conditional.
Sure.
And some of these rules are more useful for non-native learners.
Yes, I agree. I agree that, you know, they know these rules intuitively, but because they just hear them all the time, you know, hear and repeat. It works. And sometimes it is a challenge for non-native speakers because we don't feel that it is right and it is wrong, you know. And because we're not living in the society where the language is spoken, you know, so we cannot, like, check it. We need to make the extra effort, the special effort, and look for the right answer. Yes, and sometimes it is confusing because, you start looking for a right answer and you find a lot of other things. And if you have problems with concentration and focus, like me, for example, you will end up in the different, you know, end of the language. Very often it happens to me. Yeah, it is hard. But sometimes for non-native speaker, probably it is impossible to learn the language. Without learning to learn the language on a nice level, not like primitive level about just, I don't know. A lot of sounds not from me.
Yes, yeah, the little robots from here. Sorry.
That's fine.
Did not silence my phone. Silencia. Yeah, so I think the intuitive immersion, the immersion is an important part of that. I think some people do learn intuitively with intense immersion. I'm thinking of the difference in home environments. Kids who watch the same cartoons and sitcoms day after day, and that's their immersion, have a different ease of learning a language or speaking a language than students who have a different sort of immersive experience. So exposure, how you're exposed and what you're exposed to and how long, certainly impact. Are there certain errors that bug you more than others? Do you notice?
I think what you see?
Mm-hmm.
I think the situation, what bothers the most. I think if you want to read something that's important, a portal document with grammar errors, that's bugs me more than in an informal communication.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't have, we had the problem with electricity today, so that's why I just posted it like before the class, because like 20 minutes before the class, we had the light on the internet.
Electricity.
Yes, electricity is here. Thank you. So, yeah, and actually, Gerard, I wrote the same thing. So in the informal, in the informal situation, those typos and mistakes do not bother me that much. But as for Ukrainian language, for example, I will give you the example that nowadays, I don't know why, maybe because there are so many those online newspapers here. Yeah, I can see that the content is not proofread at all. And there are so many mistakes, so many, not typos, but stylistic mistakes, grammatical mistakes. And it bugs me. It really just drives me crazy. And how can I trust those journalists? They're journalists, right? They're supposed to be educated people, well-educated people, people who form, Bashana, stop talking, please. People who form, the ideas among other people, yes,
they set a level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should set a level. And when I see this level, so that's awful. And sometimes.
So you're answering Gerard's first question. So you have made a judgment because someone has.
Yes, I do. I think it's inevitable. You know, teachers, they are predisposed. Can I say that? That word? No, not predisposed. How? I forgot the term. Okay, so
predisposed
teachers,
is appropriate. We are predisposed to recognizing errors.
Yeah,
it comes naturally.
Right, recognizing. Well, yes, it comes natural, but probably judgment shouldn't be that natural,
right,
teachers.
Right.
So we should be. I don't know how to say that. Not nice, but we should recognize that it is it's human to err, right? So mistakes are inevitable.
To err is human, yes.
Yes,
Oops, I'm typing in the wrong place. Let me get to the right Skype place. How'd that happen?
Multitasking? No?
No, it really wasn't. But Valerie would have been surprised if I typed that to her.
Probably she would think, okay, I did it. I was mistaken somewhere, so I should have a look.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's easy to judge, right? It's harder to not judge, I think, sometimes. So, Gerard, how would you answer your question? Have you ever made a judgment because someone had written something with plenty of mistakes?
Well, that depends on what I expect of this person. Mm-hmm. Usually, if I see a person who makes a lot of mistakes, I think this person has a low cultural level. Mm-hmm. And it's quite normal in this day.
Okay. And that's normal in these days. Ah, that's such a sad statement.
Yeah.
But I agree. So my story is that my mom was in hospice, I think you both know, and the hospice folks contacted me after she died. They didn't realize, the hospice folks here did not realize that she died, and they contacted Mom and I by email and wanted to do a story on us to promote different ways people approach hospice care and deal with the challenges. And I told them that I thought Mom would have said yes if she were alive, and that if I could help, I would do an interview. So I was interviewed, and last week they sent me the article for me to read before they published it. And it had nine grammar errors. A few story errors, too, but nine grammar errors. Journalist.
Did you correct them?
She's paid to do this. I'm volunteering my time. Dang it, yeah. I can't earn enough money. So it is sadly ordinary today for journalists and their editors.
Mm-hmm. So what happened with
I corrected
reading?
right.
I don't know.
It's not in the budget anymore, and customers don't complain anymore, I guess. I don't know. Nobody cares?
Well,
I care. And you see people complain and make cartoons and send it around to try to embarrass you. But almost every day, if not every day, that something comes in my email with a mistake. And I do things quickly, and a lot of us are, and it's easier to not catch. And I make mistakes and edit them on loop frequently enough.
That's right.
But people post them and don't check them, I think, is not caring enough to invest the time. So I read... Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Troy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've noticed that sometimes I review something. I wrote some composition and I don't detect my mistakes. But if I read the composition of another person, I detect them, the same mistakes.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to catch our
own. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why sometimes I like to ask someone to have a look at that, because you can just look at your mistake and you don't see it. Yeah. You don't see it because you probably, I don't know, just in your head, it sounds all right. So that's why you cannot.
That's actually the topic I want to research. I want to, if I were to go back for a doctoral, I think that would be my focus. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't researched to see what research has been done. But certainly you're not the first student, Gerard, to say how and to ask, how can I identify my own mistakes better? And not just learning a second or third or fourth or fifth or other language, but native speakers also have this challenge. Definitely.
We indulge ourselves.
Yeah, Diana wrote sloppiness, and I think that's part of it is our faster-paced world, and do it and it's gone, and 7,000 things replace it is part of that. I think that's part of the change that's coming, happening, that we're living through. Yeah,
but you know what? I was surprised, actually, reading the article, I was surprised to know that this neurotic thing does not relate to making mistakes and typos, right?
Yeah.
So, and it does not bother neurotic people, because I thought that it bothers me because I am this type of neurotic type. Yeah. So, well, because I don't think that I am an introvert. I'm more of an extrovert, yes? But typos sometimes, they bug me, yeah? So... Okay. That was interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
And I could not read that word, actually, though that's one of the traits. It sound, okay. Holly, can you please help me with this word? Conscientiousness.
That's
is
new,
correct?
New for pronunciation. It didn't feel right in your mouth. Yeah, to be conscientious.
Yeah.
Conscientious. Maybe second stress on shus. I'm not sure. Conscientiousness.
Yes.
Pronunciation is fun. Yeah, mm-hmm. So, and that's something that many parents teach, even if they're not conscious of teaching it. Even if they don't teach it conscientiously, they teach this need to be conscientious to children, and can create neuroses in children.
Yes.
Mm. So I read this. I'm going to paste it and let you guys read through it. I read this today, looking at different things for class, and not sure that it's true. So I wanted to know your thoughts on this.
What is, how about that last sentence? Any of those can and perhaps should disqualify. Any of what? Any
right, should disqualify a person, right? Disqualify a candidate.
Yeah.
So here's an example, right?
Yeah.
Right? But that's verbal. It's a quote. So it's verbal and so assumed that you know what they're completely. But I'm really not sure that the majority do look for grammar errors anymore. I think eyes miss them or don't care. They don't register as a conscientious ouch for a lot of people. I see errors that a lot of other people don't catch.
Mm-hmm.
So is
how does
that
it make
important?
It feel you? How do you feel about that? Do you want to close your eyes and never see them again?
One of the biggest errors I see on resumes that people share is inconsistency in grammar, in lists or bullet, especially bulleted lists. Lots of errors. And I don't think most people see them, care about them. When I've been involved in teamwork submitting papers, people argue with me. It doesn't matter. Just let it go. And sometimes if I'm the second pair of eyes giving peer edit suggestions, they don't bother to fix it, and then they'll come back and say, "Ha, see, I got a B, I got an A. She didn't point out what you said." and therefore the teacher's right, not me, mm-hmm. as a classmate in a graduate course. What do I know? but I have experienced this in education, graduate coursework, over and over and over again. So I really don't know if grammar matters as much to native speakers as it used to, and I'm not always sure what that means in transference to teaching to non-native speakers, because you're often judged, I think, differently. So it might not matter to me. I can make mistakes, but you can't. Is the message, I think, a lot of people send.
That's right.
That's a cultural thing that's changing language use. Journalists, the models, the news reporters, the models of society for correct English, President Obama, President Bush, presidents do not model clear speech, correct grammar all of the time. What does that matter? What does it mean?
Wouldn't you say that grammar is more important in writing communication than in speaking communication?
I don't know. The example I just shared with resume, that's written. First impression written. Important to your life.
Yeah.
Future written.
That's right.
And I don't know how much it matters. Truthfully, do not know how much it matters. It depends on who's reviewing it. But if I'm teaching English and I work with other English teachers and professors who don't care, what does that say?
Right.
So purpose and audience.
Yeah.
Here we are talking about writing communication. But what about the speaking? Would you judge people because they make grammar mistakes while they speak? They are speaking?
I do. I judge native speakers much more harshly than I judge.
yeah.
On loop, I have more of a problem with written. When people use texting language, you are for YOU apostrophe RE, your or you for you, YOU. That bugs me. when it's repeated, first time doesn't, but when someone's been reminded and does not make the effort, when it feels like I'm fair to judge that people are just not willing to make the effort, then it bugs me. But more and more I'm questioning myself, does it matter? Because of what Gerard just asked. If they're communicating, and that is the purpose, if it's not an exam situation and it's not a formal debate.
Well, you know, I think the general communication rules on loop, you know, they are, I think that we have that in our rules, yes, not to use those text short language or texting messaging thing. Actually, I think that if you start not bothering about that, then it will go all down, you know, people will start using. Actually, I did not use it in one of my comments because I didn't want to set an example.
Right?
Do you remember that picture I shared about the apostrophe, your and something? So what do people, I wonder what people do with all this extra time they're gaining.
Yes, right.
So I wanted, I just wanted to answer that. But then I thought, okay, these people are not bothered by that. They will pick it up and they will start using it. And then we'll have the whole moment with all those things. You know, those, from the internet, jargon from the internet. So,
But that is how we're communicating also on loop, you know? Right?